Thank you, Brother Paul. Good evening. It's nice to see everyone. Thank you, Pam, for the songs. Thanks for the poem. I like the poem better than the sermon. Yeah. That's good. We had lots of children usually in the churches I pastored. And so every Sunday morning I would do a children's sermon. And there would probably be anywhere from 15 to 30 that would come down. And we had two nurseries, one for the infants and one for the renegades. And when I was finished with the children's sermon, the nursery attendants would be standing in the doors, and I would tell them, you know, you're dismissed to go to the nursery, and if any of you children are planning on staying in here, you're going to have to be quiet. And I mean it, because there'll be people in here trying to sleep. So they would be real quiet. And I say that tonight. I just hope the snoring doesn't get too heavy. I've had several mentors, and I still do. I'm still learning. I can learn from my grandchildren things I never knew. My children, I've learned from Baptist preachers things I want to do and things I shouldn't do. My parents were my greatest role models. My dad was a deacon in the Baptist church from 46 to 96. That's 50 years. My mother was a Sunday school teacher and a soul winner for Jesus. If you came to our church, she'd find out if you were saved. And if you weren't, she'd do everything in her power to get you to take your heart to the Lord. And I'll never forget that. They instilled in me some things that will be there until my dying day. And I'm grateful, very grateful. I have had so many good churches to pastor. I've had so many mentors and friends. I served one church, and as I was leaving, I told this deacon, I said, if it hadn't been for you, I would have left a long time ago. Well, I think I said, if it hadn't been for you and the Lord, I would have left a long time ago. I said, sometimes you stood with me when I was wrong. Why did you do that? He said, oh, I thought you'd figure it out sooner or later. But, you know, that's a friend. And he said, we needed a pastor. It's hard to find sometimes. One of the ministers that was a mentor to me, and I mentioned him today some at lunch, was Brother F.W. Lambert. I was scared to death when I had to go help him in a revival because he was quite a bit older than me. And I preached that first night. That's a tradition where I grew up. The evangelist would always preach the first night. Well, after I preached and they were singing an invitational hymn, he came up beside of me and he whispered to me, and he said, you're going to have to pick up on your preaching. They're used to better than that around here. Now, you may not believe it, but that's what he said. And I wanted to hit him. Well, it was like that. And he was trying to test me, of course, to see. And then one night he told me, he said, you're up there with Judd and Cal and Cap. That was three of our outstanding older preachers. And he was trying to put me into company with them. I guess he thought I didn't have enough sense to know what he was doing. But I knew exactly I wasn't nowhere close to them. I couldn't carry their shoes. And I've never done anything big. The best thing I ever did was to bow at an altar in a little country church in Trousdale County, Tennessee, and ask God to forgive me and save me, and he did. And like one old fellow told me, he was saved at 17, right after he got out of World War I, and he'd testify and he'd say, "The Lord saved me, and I've been saved ever since." And I'm like him, I've been saved ever since. If you want to read with me, turn your Bibles to the 37th Psalm, beginning with the first verse, Psalm 37, verse 1. Carolyn, they asked me to lead a song. Where's Carolyn? Yeah. They asked me to lead a song one time. And I was young. When I got through, they said, "Do it again." And I thought, boy, that they liked it, I guess. So I led it again. I got through that time. They said, "Lead it again. Lead it till you get it right." I didn't much appreciate that. Psalm 37, verse 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." I'll stop reading there. My theme for just a few minutes, and I do hope you'll be prayerful. Fear not, little flock. I have an idea that 95% or more of this congregation is saved people, and perhaps members of the Lord's church somewhere. So I want to, if I can, to encourage you tonight for just a few minutes. There is so much fear. There are fear mongers in the world. They spend their time trying to create fear. One day, my wife and I were in a hospital in Murfreesboro. One of the young ladies in our church had given birth to a baby boy. And of course, we wanted to see that little boy. So we went to the hospital. Well, it wasn't the proper time, so we went to the waiting room and we sat there and waited. And while we were waiting, the phone rings in this waiting room. And an aunt of the little boy that was just born answered the phone. And her face got as white as my shirt. before she hung up. And when she hung up, she said, "That was a man who told me that there was a bomb planted in this hospital and it would go off in 15 minutes. Well, you don't know what to do. The first thing we did, we called security in the hospital to inform them of this call. The waiting room had windows all around it. And having served in the military police, I was a little bit aware of how people might act who would do something like that. So I was watching to see if anybody came up the hall, expecting to see what kind of fear might be among those of us sitting in that waiting room. Well, sure enough, there was a young man in his early 20s that came walking up, and he just kept looking and looking inside as he walked up one hall and then down the other looking in. And I went out into the hallway to watch where he went. And about that time, the security officers came. And we, of course, reiterated the story to them, and they said, "Do you have any idea who's done this?" I said, "I don't know, but I've got a gut feeling that boy going yonder did it." Well, they went and detained him, took him downstairs for questioning, and he finally confessed that he had done it. And they asked him why he was there, and he said, "I came with a friend whose grandmother was in the hospital sick." And they said, "Well, why would you do that?" And he said, "I don't know. I guess I just was bored and wanted something to do." Isn't that sad to think that we don't have any more discipline over our younger generations, or even the older for that matter, to keep us focused in the right direction and doing the right thing? There's two kinds of fear. There's one that means an awesome respect for God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Fear not, little flock. Yeah. You remember Solomon said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." He didn't mean for us to be afraid of God. He was saying reverence God. Be aware of who he is and of what he can do or can't do for any of us. There's so many fears tonight. We fear cancer. The C word tears us up. We fear strokes. We fear heart attacks. We fear car wrecks. We fear COVID because we don't know it's taken so many people from our country and around the world. We fear plane crashes. We fear hurricanes and tsunamis. We fear so many things. Floods. If there's ever a time that the church needs to be encouraged and take notice that God is still in control. Amen. He's on his throne. He hasn't changed any. He can help us when we need help. We can trust in him. There were some captions in this. I don't know if you noticed those or not, but I tried to emphasize them as I was going reading through. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. These are things that we need to think about. I want to mention a few fears, I guess. Over in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill," Matthew, "fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that's for the unsaved person, especially right there. My text will be found in Psalms 118, verse 6. David writes, and he said, "The Lord is on my side." That means he's for me. And he went on to say, "I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Well, the most he could do would be to kill us. and all of us that are saved would just have a quick trip to heaven if that happened. So we don't have a lot to fear when you get right down to it. It doesn't really make that much difference in a lot of ways. But there's so much fear. I want to think about some fears that I've experienced, and you can probably think of some along the way. I guess the first fear that I ever experienced when I was very young, I thought, what if my mother and daddy were both killed in a car wreck going to work some morning or coming home? What would become of me and my sister? And I worried about that. Well, of course, I grew up and that didn't happen, and I was so grateful. Then I started to school. My mother sent me to school with my sister when I was 4 years old because it was two blocks. Well, she was trying to get rid of me. And when I got to school, they said, oh, no, we don't take anybody that young. You'll have to take him back home. So she took me back home, and next year, mother sent me again. And they kept me that time at five. And I guess they wished they hadn't some of the time. But when I started school, I feared. I had a fear that my teachers and the fellow students, that they wouldn't like me. And it bothered me. Some didn't, but most did. And of course, I got beyond that fear. The next thing I remember fearing dying without God and going to hell. And I would lay in my bed and think about that. And the Lord took care of that for me, August the 6th, 1953. And I've never had to worry about that again. In high school, the prom came along, and I was afraid to ask somebody to go with me because I didn't want them to turn me down. So I just didn't ask. Well, there was a girl whose locker was close to mine, and she said, Kenneth, if you'll ask May Dean, I think she'd go to the prom with you. I said, Lord, May Dean's not going to the prom with me. She was one of the prettiest girls in school. And everybody liked her. I said, she'll get a dozen invitations probably. Two or three days later, Peggy said, have you asked May Dean? I said, no, I'm not going to the prom. She said, you ask her. She'll go if you ask her. I said, what do you mean? She said, she told me she would. So then I got up enough confidence to ask her to go, and she said yes. And I got her a pretty orchid and put it on her. And tried to dance, but I was all over both of her feet. But she didn't say anything about it. She went on. Year before last, I had to preach her funeral. 4 years ago, I had to preach her friend Peggy's funeral. I've preached, I don't know how many of my fellow students, coaches and teachers' funerals. The hardest funeral I have now is for a lady, because it reminds me of my wife. And it takes me a few days to get over that. I joined the Army, and I feared what might happen there. I figured I'd have to fight just to survive, and I was shocked when I learned that everybody was in the same boat as I was in, They were away from home, and they were looking for a friend. And I was looking for a friend, and my first friend was a full-blooded Indian from Oklahoma named Barney Cloud. They came in on a train late one night and came into our barracks, woke all of us up, and I got up and sat down on the footlocker, and Barney came over there and he said, do you have a cigarette? Now, I hate to admit it, but at that time I smoked. I said, yeah, here, take the whole pack. And I had a friend then in Barney for the next 8 weeks. If I got in trouble, I'd just holler Barney and he'd pull them off. Yeah, didn't have any problem. It's wonderful. When I was growing up and they'd call me Red, I didn't like that, and I'd swing as hard as I could swing at them. It didn't matter how big they were, I didn't have enough sense to know the difference. And when I'd be down getting whipped good, I'd holler, "Sissy," she'd pull them off of me. And ever since then, I've had the Lord pulling them off of me. I haven't had to fear about very much. David said in Psalms 34:4, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Isn't it wonderful to have the helper that we have? You know, sometimes we seek false solutions to our fears and our troubles. We don't know where to go. I'm going to recommend that you take your case to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not one time, but every time. Yeah. He's the brother that will stick with us through thick and thin. He's there for us. He's on our side when we're on his side.
Yeah.
Now, listen to that last part. We have to be on his side. He's not going to stand by us when we're wrong. Now, he'll help us until we make it right, and he'll even give us the grace to make it right. But we have to do our part. He's not going to do that for us. He said, "Fear not thyself. Never be angry about trouble." Oh, I was redheaded and I was full of film and vigor growing up. And I thought you were supposed to fight just to have a good time. But that didn't make good sense. It wasn't necessary. And I, after I got whipped a few times, I let up on it. We need to trust, he said, the Lord with all thy might. Take your troubles to the Lord and leave them there. He's able to help us. He's the friend that's there in the ninth hour. He'll be there in the tenth hour with us. We also can trust in God's word. He said his word would not return unto him void.
That's right.
He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." If you don't read your Bible every day, you're not strong as you could be. Read your Bible every day.
Yeah.
Meditate upon it. You don't have to read 15 chapters. You might just read 6 or 8 verses and have you a prayer and think about those verses. Let those verses speak to you and they'll help you. We need to trust in God's promises, folks. We don't do that. The Apostle Peter said in the first chapter of his writing, he said, "Great and precious are the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, what has he promised? Well, he promised that he would be with his church. "Fear not, little flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." He's not giving you ownership of the kingdom. He doesn't mean that. What he means, he's going to give you the resources that you need to supply that kingdom as long as you live, and then you hand it off to those coming behind you, and they'll do the same thing until he comes back again. Amen. What are those things that we need? We mentioned last night, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, never have, then you haven't been saved.
That's right. Amen.
And no man that has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. It is the Spirit itself that beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, I've seen people that never demonstrated any spirit. I'm not talking about emotionalism. Well, a fella can come to church and bawl like a baby and the spirit be far from him. But I think the spirit can move people to tears.
Yes.
They have me and I'm sure they have you. But the Holy Spirit is what we need to be filled with. We need the Holy Spirit so that we don't come and have a humanistic service. All we're doing is tooting our horns and then we leave and we feel good about what we've done when we didn't do anything to please God because it wasn't of the Holy Spirit. We got to have the Spirit. We got to have the Word of God. We can't have the watered down Word of God. We got to have the pure Word of God. The truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Yeah. Speak the truth. That's what we need to do. Preachers don't need to apologize when they've preached the truth. They need to stand by it and say, you can believe it or not believe it. One of my mentors was a preacher named F.L. Ray. And he was in a revival meeting at Union Hill Church many, many years ago. And there was a man who ran a store down the road from the church, and Brother Ray was anxious for that man to get saved. Oh, he prayed for him. He stopped by, tried to get him to come to church. He wouldn't come. They were having a revival, and one night the man showed up. And when the altar call was given, of course, back then, they'd be some to always come to the altar in those days. And they'd sing with them a while, and then pray a while, and sing some more, and whatever. Sometimes stay till midnight, as long as there was somebody there praying. Well, the old brother, the man that came, he stood back there. The old preacher finally felt impressed to go speak to him. And he walked back there and he asked him, he said, are you saved? He said, no. He said, do you want to be saved and go to heaven? He said, no. The old preacher said, well, just split hell wide open then. Turned around and started walking back towards the front. And guess what happened? The man passed him on the way to the front. He couldn't get to the altar quick enough. But the old preacher said the right thing. Now, that wouldn't work every time. You couldn't do that. But it worked that night on that hard-hearted man. And he went to the altar and he found the Lord. I was in a revival at Sulphur Fork Church over in North Sumner County, Tennessee, one year. And there was a man who had two sons. They was all about 6'4". And the father was lost and his boys were lost. Well, one night I made the statement that if you're not saved, you don't love God. Well, when that service was over and I came outside, there was a fella over at the corner of the house. Psst, psst. I looked over there and he's motioned me to come over there. I walked over there. I said, what is it? He said, you said something tonight I don't believe. I said, what is it? He said, you said sinners don't love God. I said, I did say it. And I mean it. And I said, in 1 John chapter 4, it says very plainly, He that knoweth not God is not born of God. And I said, how are you going to love somebody you don't know? You all love anybody you don't know? Well, of course not. It's a ridiculous statement. He was trying to say he loved the fact there was a God, but he didn't love him because he didn't know him. You got to know someone to love them. I said, fella, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that you can't sleep a wink tonight. I'm going to pray you don't want a bite to eat tomorrow. I'm praying that you can't have peace nor rest until you become so convicted of your sins that you fall out with Satan and turn to God in repentance and faith and get saved. Well, I went home and I came back the next night. And I thought I was the first person there, and then I saw a man walking around the church cemetery. Yeah. So I get out, and here he made a beeline to me. He said, Lord, you ruined me. I didn't sleep a wink last night, and I haven't eaten a bite today. And he said, I'm in bad shape. I said, no, you're getting in good shape, brother. Just let's go in and see what the Lord's got for us tonight. We went in and the Lord got a hold to him and that fella came to the altar. And you know what happened when he came? Those two big old boys came right behind him. And the Lord saved all three of them right there that night. Amen. And they left rejoicing, and I guess he went home and got plenty to eat that night. That's all right. Jesus said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. You know, a lot of people fear getting old. I don't have to worry about that. I've already gotten old. And most of you don't have to worry about it either. So you can't laugh too much. Some fear death. I've known people that fear death. You have too. Just scared the willies out of them. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he's not talking about this house. He's talking about the big house.
Yes.
And you've been saved, you'll dwell in that house forever. Right. That's an unending place. What a beautiful psalm. David wrote, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in chapter 4, verse 19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, I believe, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That's his precious promise. Amen. Folks, he'll stand by it. Have no fear of Satan. Have no fear of death or aging or whatever might come. Just put your trust in the Lord and say, "Lord, here I am. You know what I need, and I believe he'll supply your need."
Amen.
I believe it with all of my heart. I don't know if I told you all about this or not. I had a friend that died 4 years ago. His name was Glenn Powell. And his wife, Bernice, had already passed away, and she was saved and left a good testimony. She was on her way to heaven. Glenn had never been saved. People had prayed for him. I've heard his sisters and brothers request prayer for him at church. And Glenn, he wasn't interested at all. Well, one Friday afternoon, his niece, he didn't have any children, his niece called me and she said, "Uncle Glenn is real low out here at the Hendersonville Hospital and he wants you to come." And I said, Sherry, I can't come tonight, but I can come early in the morning." She said, "Okay." So early the next morning I went and she was there, and another niece and her husband that I knew were there. And I walked up to the side of Glenn's bed, and he saw it was me, and he started crying. And I said, "Glenn, I'm sure sorry that you're not well." He was, did I tell you, he was 95 years old. "Well," I said, "I hope everything will be all right." I said, "Is everything good between you and the Lord?" And he shook his head and started crying. I said, "Oh, my gracious." I said, "You mean you've never been saved?" And he shook his head, "No." I said, "Well, it's not too late. Amen. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, to call on God. You can do it silently or loud. Makes no difference. He looks on the heart. I'm going to bow here and pray with you, but I can't save you, Glenn. God only can. But I wish you'd talk to him just like you talked to me and tell him what you need." Well, he closed his eyes. I guess he started praying. I prayed a little and I got up. He was still laying there with his eyes shut. He stayed like that for so long his niece thought he'd died. She walked up beside of him and took his hand, and he didn't open his eyes then. Nurse came in and said, "I need to check Mr. Powell's vitals. Will you all step out?" We stepped out. Of course, we knew he was alive, or she would have told us. And she came out and said, "Y'all can go back in if you want to." Well, they said they'd been there a good while, and they guess they'd just go on home. I said, "Well, I'm not hardly ready to go home. I want to go back in." I went back in. I walked up beside the bed, and Glenn had a big smile on his face. He said, "Kenneth, I believe I'm going to heaven." And I thought, "Lord, have mercy." Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
At 95 years old. And that's all I told. We had a graveside service for him, and that's about all I told, was what Glenn told me. And the funeral directors were standing there wiping tears out of their eyes because of him getting saved on his deathbed. I wouldn't recommend it, but Jesus saved the thief on the cross, didn't he? He got promoted pretty quickly after getting saved. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, some of them said, well, he couldn't go. We hadn't been baptized. Listen, folks. Baptism is a symbol, an outward symbol of an inward manifestation. It never was intended to take away sins. It illustrates outwardly what we can't see inwardly of the person. So don't be taken in by the fact that baptism is so important. If baptism saved, and Jesus was baptized, what was he saved from? He didn't have any sins. You tell me. You ask anybody you want to tell you, and then come tell me. Because I'd like to learn something there. Well, you don't baptize a feller with no sin to make him sinless, do you? So who do you baptize? You baptize a believer. You baptize someone whose sins have been forgiven. That's who you baptize it. I like to illustrate it like this, and then I'll close. One January day, I walked in at the Army recruiting office on Cherokee Avenue in Nashville, Tennessee. I joined this man's army. I took the soldier's oath. Some of you have been right there, either Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, something. I walked out of there just like I went in, pair of blue jeans and a denim shirt. Nobody couldn't tell I was in the Army that day. I went to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and when I went through over there in one of those buildings, I came out with fatigues, and I had boots, and I had long underwear, and I had a little bit of everything. And I put the uniform on. And then when everybody saw me, they said, there goes a soldier. Well, when you was baptized, everybody could see it, and they said, there's one of God's children. You put the uniform on, didn't you? We need to wear the uniform well for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. He was baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness, not to save him from sin. He didn't have any. Never did have any. That's why he could take our place. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. May God bless Elkton Church until Jesus comes back. I hope that you all will be here, or some like you, if you've gone to heaven, and that the same gospel will be preached then that Brother Kofor preaches now. Yeah. Be wonderful. I pray that.